grace. Mercy and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We began 2014 by hearing from the Word of God. In the Gospel of John, we heard the powerful words of our Lord Jesus as John recorded them, John 14, 11 through 14. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. This year is going to be a powerful year because we are asking for greater things in Jesus' name. But to ask well, we need to have a focus and an understanding of what the greater things may be. We all want to see the glory of Father glorified in our lives. We want to see the great power of the living God move in our lives and move in other people's lives, transformed by the good news of Jesus Christ, that forgiveness of sin, redemption, new life. The hope and joy we have, we want the world to know. And even more than just know, we want the world to experience the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Jesus said that those who have faith in him will do what he has been doing. These next several weeks, we will be hearing the Word of God show us what Jesus did. We'll be walking section by section through the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8 and chapter 9. We'll also be adding in from other Gospels, other events, recording what Jesus did. For what Jesus did, by faith, we too will do. Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." He traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching, preaching. Jesus was healing every disease and sickness amongst the people. And news was spreading all over the place about him. People were coming from miles and miles and miles all around to see him, to hear him, and to be healed by him. Peter, Andrew, James, and John had left their boats and their business at the beckoning of Jesus. Zebedee, James and John's father, was left standing in the boat holding the nets, wondering what captured the hearts of his sons as he watched them go off and follow Jesus. Great crowds gather from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and all the regions across the Jordan. They follow Jesus to hear him teach, preach, and to be healed. Jesus climbs a mountain, and seeing the great crowd, he sits down. The disciples gather around him, and Jesus teaches them. Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7 record the teaching known as the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 7 has this. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Jesus comes down from the mountain, and we have recorded in the Word of God event after event of Jesus doing signs and wonders. Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, they contain great words of teaching. Now Matthew chapters 8 and 9 are recorded event after event of Jesus clearly revealing the power and presence of God. In other words, Jesus is unmistakably demonstrating by these signs that the teaching he did on the mountain are truly the word of God. These miracles, these signs are his credentials as Messiah of the Jews. They are signs that point to him, Jesus, as very God, a very God. For only God can do such things. Jesus is showing to the people his deity. These things are supernatural. They are creative miracles demonstrating that power that is the essence of the living God. This Jesus is God. That is what Matthew is testifying in these examples of healing power of Jesus. Who is saying these things? What authority is in him to say such things? Why should we listen to him? Why should we believe? These miracles answer those questions powerfully. Jesus is God. Believe and have new life in him. So let us begin with this first sign. The healing of the leper. Imagine yourself. Imagine yourself cut off from your family, cut off from friends, cut off from all people. You're in, you're out, you are an outcast. Nowhere to go, nowhere to call home, no hope. Wherever you go, you have to shout, unclean, unclean. You do that wherever you go so others will be warned of your presence and they can take evasive action and avoid you completely. You are scorned and derided. You are hated. You are pointed to as an example of God's judgment. You're an example of sin. You are ceremonially unclean. You are forbidden to participate in worship, in sacrifice, in the life of the people of Israel. You are separated. You are cut off. You are alienated. You are outcast. As a leper, you live not only with the shame and smell of your condition, you are a walking example of sin. Sin that has corrupted the flesh, corrupted the whole body, sin that is incurable and can infect others. You are a wretched creature, lost and forsaken. What a picture of power of the gospel of Jesus Christ that Matthew has for us. When the manifestation of the divine power of Jesus is shown through the healing of a leper. This leper comes before Jesus and bows down in a manner of worship. Before Jesus, in that manner of worship, the leper says, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Such faith, such humble confidence. He simply came, he worshiped, and he confessed a living faith. No statement of his worthiness to be made clean. No cleaning of his ugliness first. He came, simply came, worshiped, and said in faith, "You can make me clean." In all his sickness, pain, suffering, he worshiped and then confessed, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." The leper came in faith in the power of God. "You can" is a statement that the leper knew that Jesus had the power to heal. It is a statement of faith. For only God can take a shriveled and diseased body that may have been missing fingers, missing toes, or other parts of the body due to the effects of leprosy and be made clean. Make me clean. The leper is asking for all that defiles him, all that separates him, all that makes him ceremonially unclean to be removed. And don't miss how Jesus treated the leper. Jesus reached out and touched him. The person that priests, Pharisees, scribes, all the religious leaders were to reject and avoid, Jesus graciously reaches out and touches him. How long has it been since this man had another human being reach out and touch him with gentleness and compassion? You can add into all this that's happening the crowd shuddering at what Jesus did. You don't touch lepers. It's unheard of to touch a leper. And then, can you hear the loud gasp of the crowd when Jesus touches him? Then can you hear the even louder gasp of astonishment when the leper is healed? Jesus touches him and says, "I am willing. Be clean." By a word, the leper is cleaned. He is healed. The very same power that spoke creation into existence speaks now and brings new flesh and new life. As a testimony to the healing, to being made clean, the healed man is to go and fulfill the law of Moses. For we remember Jesus did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. The man is to act in obedience and fulfill the law. And perhaps the healed man's action will bring a testimony to the unbelieving priests that they too may believe Jesus is the Messiah. This miracle is more than a demonstration of Jesus' power over disease. This miracle is the demonstration of Jesus' power over sin. What was ceremonial unclean is now made clean. Creative and redemptive word was spoken, and the man was made clean. The first healing Matthew records is Jesus reaching out and touching the lowest of the low, the most outcast one could be, the one that all considered to be under the condemnation and judgment of God as unclean. God came to save the lost. No one is too far gone. No one is too low. No one is too full of sin to be out of the reach and out of the touch of Jesus. No one is too filthy, nor too foul, nor unredeemable. We need to remember this in our ministry. No one is out of the touch of Jesus. No one's unredeemable. We need to remember that in our ministry so that we reach out and touch all by this gospel of Jesus Christ. We are to reach out and touch the lowest and the most lost. A testimony will be there if God can forgive, redeem, and transform that person. There's hope for me. God can do the same for me. And there's much, much more. God is willing to do the same for you. The Lord is eager to do the same. That's why he came and died on the cross, was to redeem and save. There's much more that could be said, but I leave you this day because these several weeks we're building upon this. I leave you this day with three things. First and foremost, Jesus is God. Second, the most forsaken and broken can be made clean by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Third, you and I, we are sent to proclaim this good news. There is forgiveness. There is mercy. There is compassion for all in the blood of Jesus Christ. And there's new life, which leads to eternal life. Amen.